The rest of the sermon is not what I was planning to write when I created the description for today's service. I was going to continue on with the idea of choices that we can make around the good and evil within each of us, but then two grand juries declined to indict two police officers in the deaths of two black men. And all these black victims of white fear and violence come to light. And so, like many people across our country who are awake to the understanding of institutional racism and systems of oppression, I'm struggling with just how deeply things are broken. It's not just our justice system. It's not just our police forces. Although yes, for sure, those things. But I'm not struggling so much with those things. I'm just mad about them. What has struck me more than anything else is the ability of so many people who look like me to keep going on with their lives as if nothing important is going on. I went to Haiti a few years ago for a service learning trip to help the peasant movement of Papaï build eco-villages that would house people moving back out into the country from Port-au-Prince after the 2010 earthquake. I was only there for a week, but the denuded mountains, the potholed and poorly drained dirt roads with their crazy dance of foot, bicycle, and occasional car traffic, the skinny people wearing tattered and stained American t-shirts with slogans that were at least a few years old, the cobbled together huts, the water so full of bacteria that we couldn't even touch it to our lips, they became the norm so fast that when I came back to the US with its green lawns with neat houses emerging from them, its people in new and well-fitted clothing, its flush toilets and abundance of clean water flowing freely from the taps, its orderly traffic patterns on paved roads with bright lines, I was disoriented. Wildly disoriented. For a while when I returned, I remained so attuned to the people I had lived and worked alongside for just a week and the place they called home that it was hard to make sense of much of what I saw here. Everything that just a week before had been the normal way of life. This is how I feel now. This is how I feel when I watch videos of protests. In Ferguson, yes, but for me more so the footage of what's going on in Chicago and New York, places I'm familiar with. It's how I felt when I took part in a local rally here last week. And it's how I felt when I noticed the sandwich board outside the Victory Coffee Shop saying Black Lives Matter. And when I read the compilation of last words uttered by black people, killed by people who are sworn to serve and protect. What are you shooting me for? It's not real. Don't shoot. I have a gun. I don't have a gun. Stop shooting. And I can't breathe. Superimposed over these images, these feelings, the non-response, the conversations between white people who seem unaware of the rising tide of anger and despair going on around them. People don't know there's a revolution going on. The business as usual air I'm seeing is just as disorienting to me as the place that used to look normal before Haiti gave me a new lens. And what do I do with that? My Unitarian Universalist faith tells me that I'm deeply connected with everyone and everything around me. And I infer from that that all must be well if any piece of that web is to be well. And all is not well. And I'm trying to figure out which pieces need to be well in order for Black lives to really matter as much as white lives. And by extension, for me to be healed. Healed of this anger and this pain that comes from my understanding of how we're all connected. How can I move through my life as if all is well when my human siblings are being killed for being who they are? My soul aches. And there is choice here, my friends. White people in this country have a choice. I say we here. I use we language here, knowing that there are people in the room who do not identify as white. I say we because it's the plural of I. And I'm speaking of an identity group of which I am a part, white people. We have a choice in how we relate. We have a choice in what we do. We can continue to support the systemic racism that was built into our society over the course of our entire history. We can stay in our perspectives. We can refuse to consider that life is different for our Black siblings. Different, harder, more dangerous. We can keep buying the idea that Black people are poor or lazy or dumb or scary. And even if we learn to push back against these ideas, we can keep telling them overtly and implicitly that we know what is best, that we deserve to be the leaders in the movements that are blossoming across the country in response to Ferguson or New York, and New York. Or we can choose to embrace the dark and the new and the scary. What our Black siblings are calling us to do now is to show up. They need us to join them in protests. They need us to form our own. They need us to publicly show deniers that we affirm their pain and their rage and their history and their undeserved place in this broken system, and to tell why it's important to believe their perspective. We're being asked to put aside our ideas of leadership and how this movement should run, and to follow Black organizers in the methods they've devised to meet the needs of Black people seeking liberation. Alicia Garza, one of the founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, says this important thing about choice. She says, we were hearing, well, he's never going to be convicted for killing a Black child. And I'm not surprised. And what did you expect? That was not an acceptable response, Alicia writes. We do know that the justice system often does not work on our behalf. But we thought it was important not to carry a message of resignation, but instead to carry a message of indignation and resistance. Alicia was on a conference call that I got to attend on Thursday night, along with Maurice Mitchell of the Ferguson Action Network. The call was organized by a national white ally group called Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice. And on it, Maurice told 200 white people looking to learn what we can do in response, four crucial things about choice. That solidarity actions by white people are important. That there can be no diluting of the message that this is a movement directly combating anti-Black racism. That Blacks are asking whites straight out to learn to stick with their discomfort and act. And that one of the hallmarks of this movement is to redistribute the discomfort, to create crisis through disruptive action. This is what we've been seeing on the media. So my friends, this is it. This is an opportunity we've been waiting for. This is a time we can grow into what it means to have named our congregation after a UU minister and white ally who was martyred in Selma. What is our place in this struggle? People of color have called on white people to act. Will we follow Reverend Reed's example? Not into martyrdom, but into allyship? There are plenty of opportunities to show up here in Madison. The organizing group Ferguson to Madison has adopted the twin strategies of shutting things down to spread discomfort and bringing large groups of people into public witness at county board meetings to discuss the proposed new jail. Their next event is Tuesday at 4:30. The interfaith group Moses is engaged in ongoing efforts to reduce the prison population in Dane County and create other kinds of much needed prison reform. We're already a member congregation of Moses. And I have calls out to learn about other efforts. And I have a plethora of links I can share with you if you need to read more, should you choose to become engaged. Essayist and CNN political commentator Susan Cohn wrote last week that benefiting from white privilege is automatic. Defending white privilege is a choice. Jackie James helped me understand that I can choose the language I use, and what I've chosen to believe about black and white, dark and light, is moving me into the action my black siblings are calling me into. And the God of my understanding, which arises within and between us, which is co-created with us as we move through the world and make our choices, that God holds me in the light of common humanity, gives me understanding of my connection with my black siblings, and reassures me that yes, I can listen and do as they ask. Enough is enough. And so I have said enough, and it's your turn.